Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in the Gospel of Matthew. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Again, welcome everybody, all the way from Athol as well. Nice to see you out this morning. All right, if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 18, there's some Bibles in the pew there. You can find that on page 1527, page 1527. We're going to learn about the parable of the unmerciful servant, reading from verse 21 to verse 35. A lot of verses. Jesus is teaching his disciples, preparing them to be leaders of the future church. Verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 70 times." 77 times. Actually, the authorized version is 70 times seven. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who waited to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him. He canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. 'You wicked servant,' he said, 'I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each one of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Lord, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's spiritually discerned. It's written down by Matthew, one of Jesus' disciples, inspired by the Holy Spirit, to teach us how to live in this world. And we ask that you'll give us understanding of your word this morning. Make these things plain and clear to us, these passages of scripture that may appear to be confusing. May your Holy Spirit be evident among us this morning. May we focus entirely upon these words that we shall hear, that you have prepared for each one of us, not just as a group, but as individuals. We need this. In Jesus' name, amen. So in this 18th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is teaching his disciples to follow procedures regarding church discipline. That's what this whole chapter is all about. Not just church discipline, but also forgiveness. The Bible teaches that all of us inherit a sin nature. If you ever had children, you don't have to teach them to do wrong. You have to teach them to do right. They naturally do what's wrong. We're rebellious by nature. Why? Because we have a sin nature. But then that's why you need to be born again to get the new nature. And you can only receive that when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior. And because of this sin nature, and even when you become a Christian, doesn't make you perfect. You've still got that old sin nature that rears its ugly head. And we will offend people. We will sin against people, either in word or deed. And they will sin or offend us. So within the church, there has to be reconciliation. There has to be reconciliation between the offended ones and the offender in order to keep the peace. But the truth is, there can be no reconciliation, there can be no forgiveness, there can be no restoration of fellowship that's been broken without there first being forgiveness. This is what this message is all about. The theme of this message is forgiveness. So Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, having heard Jesus speak on the forgiveness subject and church discipline, he said, well, how many times am I supposed to forgive someone, another believer, actually, when they sin against me? How many times do I have to forgive them? Seven times? And Jesus says, no, and I like the Authorized Version better. No, not seven times, Jesus said. 70 times seven. Anyone good at math, we know that's 490 times. In fact, it's, in other words, you have to forgive numerous times. Numerous times, not just seven times, seven times 70, innumerable. And then Jesus goes on to teach his disciples in parable form, it's a story, earthly story with a heavenly meaning, on the subject of forgiveness. And he tells the disciples this story about a servant who was not willing to forgive. See, it's a choice. We've all got a free will. We can choose to either choose to forgive or choose not to forgive. And like most passages of Scripture, we can apply them, and we need to apply them to our own lives today and every day. We need this because we're going to be offended. And we're going to offend people, and we need to forgive. A lot of us are carrying around a lot of baggage because we've been offended in one form or another in the past, and we've never let it go. We've never forgiven someone that has offended us or sinned against us or abused us in some way, either in word or deed. And we've done the same things because none of us are perfect. So now the story, this parable. And we need to get our thinking caps on. It's difficult, I know, to concentrate. But it's only going to be for half an hour, okay? We have no problem watching a movie for an hour and a half. There's three characters in this movie. In this story, could make a movie of it, be interesting, probably a lot more interesting in the garbage they're putting out in Hollywood. Three characters in this story, number one. First one is the unforgiving servant. Got that? Number two, the unforgiving servant's master, the one that he worked for. And number three, there's another servant who owed the first unforgiving servant money. So there's three people here. We read that the first servant owed a great deal of money to his master, the fellow that he worked for. In fact, he owed so much money that to his master that his wife and children were in danger of being sold into slavery to pay off his debts. But instead of demanding the money that he owed his master, who took pity on him, forgave him of all those debts. The net worth, some versions say there was 10,000 bags of gold. In other words, there's 10,000 talents in that country, in that currency, which is equivalent to several thousand dollars in today's money. He owed a lot of money, and he couldn't pay it back. And the master forgave him of that debt. The problem was, this servant wasn't as kind as his master was, because there was another servant that owed him some money, which he couldn't pay back right away. He was willing to pay it back, and he would have paid it back given time. But that first servant wasn't as merciful as his master had been to him. In fact, he'd begged his master for mercy, and because that master had compassion on him and he was kind and benevolent, he completely forgave him of that debt. Remember that? But that master, his forgiven servant, was unwilling to have the same compassion and to forgive the other servant who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii was like a day's wage in Jesus' time. It's very little amount compared to how much the first servant owed his master, which was millions. Now, even though this second servant promised to pay back what he owed the first servant, just give him more time, he was honest, he wanted to pay it back, that wicked, forgiven servant wasn't willing to be patient and had the one who owed him money thrown into prison. The master could have done that with that first servant if he chose to do, but he forgave his debt. His wife and his children didn't have to be sold into slavery. So as you can see, compared to the small debt the second servant owed the first one, that was nothing compared to what the first tight-fisted servant owed his master. So when the master found out from these other servants, he must have had a lot of servants, when the master found out how cruel and unjust that first servant had been to the other servant, he was so infuriated, he had that servant thrown into prison, the same place that that wicked servant put the other servant that owed him a fraction of money. So what's the principle here? The one who has been forgiven much should forgive much. The one who has been forgiven much should forgive much. In other words, grace, mercy, and forgiveness is to be extended to others, even though they don't deserve it. Even though they don't deserve it. And they've sinned against us and offended us. Grace, mercy, and forgiveness has to be extended to them. Is it easy? No. Is it possible? Yes. Because grace and mercy and forgiveness has been extended to us by God when he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins on a cross. He did that, and we didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway, so that we can receive God's grace, God's mercy, and God's forgiveness. Jesus is teaching his followers here, they're not to count the number of times that they've been offended by someone, or to count the amount of times that they had to forgive others. Not seven times, Jesus says, 70 times seven. In other words, forgive and keep on forgiving. It doesn't come naturally. It's not in our nature. It's not in the old nature. But it's certainly possible through the new nature. Amen? Amen. We are to forgive more and keep on forgiving, because God, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven us so much more than we can ever repay. We can never repay the debt that we owe to Christ and what he did on the cross for us. So in this parable of the unforgiving servant, Jesus is presenting a whole new principle that was foreign to those disciples and naturally foreign to us as well. Naturally, we don't want to forgive others. It's not in our nature to do that. We want to get even when someone offends us in some way. But for the believer in Jesus Christ, forgiveness is not only a necessity, it's also commanded in the Bible many times. One example is Ephesians 4:32, and I'll read it. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. So Jesus is teaching his disciples there in that pre-church age, before they'd received the Holy Spirit, the importance, the necessity to forgive others. But because we've now received Jesus as our Savior, we have the ability to forgive others that otherwise naturally we wouldn't be able to do before we receive the Holy Spirit. Some of you haven't received the Holy Spirit. I hope and pray today that you will. It's just a matter of asking for him to give you that, and I'll explain how you can do that later. As a result of this new birth, because Jesus said you have to be born again, we've received God's grace. Now we've got the option to forgive. I said the option, because we've also got a free will. We can exercise our free will. We're not robots, and God doesn't expect us to be. We can either believe God or we can just go our own way. That's our free choice. He's given us that free will. The people in heaven are there because they want to be. The people in hell are there because they don't want to be. Believe me, and you don't want to go there either. We can forgive because Christ lives in us. So now we are able to extend the same loving grace to those that have sinned against us, that have offended us, that have abused us, if we choose to. If we choose to, and I'm not saying it's easy, believe me, we've all been offended, we've all been sinned against, we've all been abused in one form or another. If you haven't, then you're not human. We know in this parable, the first servant's huge debt was wiped out. It was completely forgiven him. And that, you know, he wasn't expected to repay his master back. Wasn't expected to pay it back. Not until that master learned that his servant had such an unforgiving nature. And then the master got really mad. Once he found out that his servant wasn't willing to extend the same grace and mercy and forgiveness as he did to that other servant, he was really infuriated. In contrast, our sin debt was paid in full by Jesus on the cross when he shed his precious blood to wash away our sins. We don't have to pay for those sins anymore because Jesus paid the price for us. Amen? By Jesus doing that for us and then believing it, and not only believing it, you have to receive that truth by faith. Then God, the righteous judge, the righteous master, declares us not guilty because the price was paid in full by his son, Jesus, on the cross. We don't have to pay it back. Just like the first servant didn't have to pay that master back. We don't have to pay it back. We can never pay it back because the price was already paid and the cost was so high. And what Jesus suffered on that cross, we can never pay him back for what he did for us. Nobody, no matter how hard they try or what they can do, can ever repay the debt to God that we owe. Either to earn it, try earning it by doing good deeds, doing this and doing that, and try to maintain it by doing good works. It's impossible. It's only through faith in what Jesus has already done we can have our sin debt completely paid off. Of course, good deeds are great. Good works are a good thing. Of course they are. And we're expected to do that. Although doing is a good one. Doing good works is good, but no amount of good works can make us good enough to make us good. Only the goodness of God can do that. Are you confused yet? You didn't get that the first time, did you? Here it is again. Although doing good works is good, but no amount of good works can make us good enough to make us good, only the goodness of God can do that. In other words, any goodness that we exhibit is because of the goodness of God that lives in us, given to us as a free gift by the grace of God to those that believe and received Jesus as their personal Savior. No one can receive Jesus for you. You have to do it yourself. And why wouldn't you? Please, really, why wouldn't you? Therefore, in this parable, Jesus shows that forgiveness of others, or forgiving others, should be in proportion to the amount of forgiveness that has been given to us that didn't deserve it. Let's recap a little bit. Remember, that first servant had been forgiven everything. All his debts had been paid, and as a result of that, he should have extended the same benevolent grace to the other servant that owed him so little. But he wasn't willing to do that. Now, so it should be for the people of God who, by faith, have had all their sins forgiven. That when someone sins against us, when someone offends us, and they will, we should forgive them because we owe God everything. And we will never be able to pay or repay that forgiveness that he's given to us that we didn't deserve. So let's conclude. Let's wrap it up in a nice bundle. And you can take it home with you. And it's important because we need this, because we're going to be offended. We have been offended. And I know how difficult it is to forgive others. Okay? Because we've all been offended and sinned against and abused in some way. But we need to forgive them, even though they don't deserve it, because we didn't deserve what Jesus did for us either. That's the whole point. Are you with me so far? We need to remember that if we do not forgive others, it's not only wrong, but it's going to have a detrimental impact on our lives. We're the ones that will suffer if we do not forgive others that have sinned against us. And I came up with this. There's no commentary. Give me this one. You say to somebody who's really miserable and angry, what's eating you? What's eating you? I come up with this. Whatever is eating you will eventually kill you. Whatever's eating you will eventually kill you. Thank you. This is what Jesus said. Now listen. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. That's great, Jesus. Thank you very much. Job done. No, he carries on. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Really? 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 And Jesus says, when he says it, he means what he says. Because he always told the truth. So even though we don't feel like it, and we won't, or someone doesn't deserve it, which they don't, our forgiveness, we must do it. We must do it. For our own sake. For the believer, forgiveness of others that have sinned against us is not only expected by God, commanded by God, but it's also a vital necessity for our own well-being, for our own peace of mind, for our own well-being, spiritually, physically, and emotionally. Because the people that do not forgive others will suffer spiritually because they're not obeying the word of God. They're going to suffer physically. Many people sick because they've never forgiven others. And they're going to suffer emotionally if we do not forgive. If we want to stay healthy in those three areas, spiritually, physically, and emotionally, we must forgive others. That is a fact. That's what Jesus is talking about. So let's close our eyes and take stock. Let's just ask the Lord, is there someone in our life or in the past, they may not even be alive, or they may be, that in some way have sinned against us, abused us, offended us, They may still be alive, and we're still holding that grudge. We just can't seem to let it go. It irks at us. It plagues our hearts because it was an awful thing that those people did to us or that person. We just can't forget it. And we've never forgiven. We've never forgiven that person. And now we want to ask you, Lord, by your grace, to help us to forgive. We can say, Jesus, I forgive that person. Name that person. Put a name to that person. And say, I forgive so-and-so. And I know how hard that can be, how difficult it is. But if we want to have peace of mind, and we don't want to be destroyed by it because we've never had it taken care of, Jesus, you can help us do that. Even though they don't deserve our forgiveness, but we don't deserve your forgiveness either. We were sinners. We still are. None of us are perfect. We fall short every day of perfection. So we needed someone perfect to die for our sins. And there may be somebody listening to this message that have never received you. Oh, they've heard about you. They may have heard about you, the name Jesus. But they don't know why you came. And all they need to do is believe that you died on that cross. You shed your blood. We can admit to God that we're sinners. I'm sorry for the things that I've done. And I ask you to forgive me. I receive your Son, Jesus, as my Savior, my personal Savior. Please come into my life, my heart, so I can be born again. And if you pray that prayer sincerely, then share your faith with somebody and keep on walking with Jesus. And your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when you leave this world, you will go directly into his presence. That's a guarantee. This is why Jesus came, to save sinners. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We can't earn a place in heaven by religion or by doing good deeds, but simply by receiving Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I now accept you as my Savior and Lord and Savior. And remember that when people have offended us or sin against us, we need to forgive them and move on. And we also need to ask for forgiveness ourselves when we've offended others. So we thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that your word would not return void. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.